Happy Wednesday, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We greatly appreciate it as always. We've got a jam-packed program ahead for you all, but there's so much going on regarding election fraud and, well, elections. And so today we're going to kick it off with some of the biggest headlines right now on citizenfreepress.com. But I'm not alone, of course. Kane from CFP is joining us today to walk us through all of the headlines because there's so much to go through. So, Kane, thank you for jumping on with us today. We greatly appreciate your time, as always.
Happy to be here.
Well, there's so much to unpack, and you guys have actually been kind of creating the news cycle in regards to Nebraska. I think it's really interesting. I mean, I was on your website this morning, and I saw that there was like at least five headlines regarding everything that's going on over there. So break it down for our audience right now. What's going on in Nebraska, and how does it relate to Charlie Kirk? Because I think it's really interesting on how he's brought this up to the discussion up for the topic as well.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, and it's a lot more than five headlines now. It's probably closer to 50. So here's the story. Ever since 1992, Nebraska has been one of the two states, along with Maine, to split their electoral votes. And so Nebraska has five electoral votes, and the way it went in 2020 is Trump won the state 59 to basically 40 over Biden, right? So he whooped him by 19 points, but instead of getting all five electoral votes, he only got four, and one was given to Biden because Biden won one particular congressional district in Nebraska. So normally this doesn't matter, and it hasn't really come into play since 1992 when it was created in Nebraska. But Charlie Kirk noticed something very interesting as he's been running all the electoral maps. And what he noticed was that if Trump is able to flip Nevada, flip Arizona, and flip Georgia, like he's sort of looking to do in the polls. I mean, those are of the six or seven battleground states. Those are the three where he's got the biggest leads. And so what happens under the current law and under current Nebraska law, that would mean Biden would still win the Electoral College 270 to 268. So flipping three states would really do us nothing. So yeah. What Charlie and I read, you know, he's been quoted everywhere in the last 24 hours. This is blown up. Blown up regime media. And in a NBC News piece this afternoon, they quoted him as saying he had always sort of had this in the back of his mind, and he was doing research and he noticed that there was a bill existing in committee. It's been sitting in committee for a couple of years. And he also noticed there were 11 days left in the Nebraska session. So he just sort of got a wild hair and decided to do a tweet yesterday explaining to people how Trump could flip these three states and still lose. And how no Democrat states like California or New York or New Jersey, they would ever allow their delegates to be split, right? Or not delegates, but electoral college delegates. They would never allow them to be split. That no, you know, and he made the point, why are we doing this in Nebraska, which is a solidly red state? So he just put this tweet out. It already had about 1,000 retweets when he sent it to me. I was blown away because I've worried about this Nebraska thing for a long time. So I gave it five giant red headlines at the top of the stack on CFP, and it blew up and it got seen everywhere. And within six hours, he had the governor of Nebraska issuing a statement specifically saying that he would sign this bill. The bill is called LB 764. He would sign this bill if it made it to his desk. Now, here's the problem. The problem is it's been stuck in committee for 2 years, and Nebraska has a bunch of stuff they need to get done in these last 11 days, including a state budget. And it blew up so quickly. So what the Republicans in Nebraska are saying, the state senators, okay, here's another little thing. It's unicameral. It's one body. There's no House and Senate in Nebraska. So everyone's together. Well, an interesting thing today, a Democrat, a longtime Democrat, quit the Democrat Party and joined the Republican Party. Just this morning. Yes. So that gives Republicans, 33 seats, which is a filibuster proof majority. So it means that Democrats could not filibuster this LB 764 and keep it from coming to the floor. However, and here's the bad part, it may not ever get to the floor because it's stuck in committee. And if people will go to the stack right now at citizenfreepress.com and just start clicking on all the Nebraska headlines, you'll find the NBC story that talks about how it's stuck in committee and they may not be able to get out in time. And so here's a couple last few things, and then I'll throw it back to you. So the senator, the United States senator of from Nebraska is Pete Ricketts. He's the former governor, and he's the son of the owner of the Chicago Cubs. He is the biggest, most well-known guy in the state of Nebraska. He was born there, you know, besides Warren Buffett. It's Pete Ricketts. And Ricketts came out this afternoon just about 2 hours ago and said that he 100% is backing this bill. They're calling it the Electoral College Winner Take All Act. And so we've got Ricketts behind it. We've got the governor behind it. But we have the state senators themselves saying it's kind of stuck in committee. So that sort of brings everyone up to date.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting. I think this is, first off, I mean, Charlie Kirk pushing this forward is incredible. I think it shows how influential CFP is and how you guys kind of, you know, you guys are the ones who stir the conversation. And I think that's great. And again, folks, we always tell you, go over to citizenfreepress.com. That's how you're going to be in the know. I think this is interesting. Do you think, or have you heard, because obviously you're not an attorney, but do you think that even if they do get this through, will there be any like legal challenges to kind of prevent this from taking place in November?
Oh, I'm sure there would be. It could be. Yeah, I mean, they could get it passed through the Senate. The governor could sign it. And I imagine that Mark Elias would jump, you know, and there would they would try to come up with ways to block this. It's interesting, in the NBC article, they actually have the quote, and I'll find it in my stack. They have the quote that, I hate hesitating here. It's about how dare they wait 200, oh, here it is. This is Obama's campaign manager on MSNBC this morning. He said, changing the rules in Nebraska 200 days before the election is ridiculous. And I know you understand the humor there because that's how Democrats won in 2020. Mark Elias changed the absentee ballot rules in 33 states, all within 200 days before the elections. And they allowed the mass mail-in ballots, which, you know, can potentially lead to fraud by, you know, and that's from Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama are both the ones who authored that UN report talking about how mail-in ballots are the most ripe for fraud. So anyway, yes, to your question, Mark Elias and Democrats will try to block this. I think there's hilarity in the irony of Democrats crying foul, like, how dare you change the rules? And granted, this should have been done a long time ago. I'll say one other thing. Maine is the only other state that also splits their delegates. They give a certain amount to the winner, I think two, and then they give one and two more out to congressional districts. So Maine apparently has threatened that if Nebraska switches their law, that Maine may switch theirs back. So it would hurt Trump by that same one vote. And then here's the last thing that you and I talked about in a pre-call earlier today. So why does this matter? So Trump would lose 270 to 268 if he flips Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona. It becomes 269 a tie if we're able to get this Nebraska law changed. And what happens if there's a tie? Well, I did more research after our phone call, and this is specifically what happens. It is the state delegations inside the House of Representatives that would decide our president in the case of a tie. So let's say we're talking about November 6th, one day after the election, it's a tie. It isn't a full vote of the House. It's not all 435 members. What they do is they take each of the 50 states and say who has a majority in that state. So if it's the state of Washington and Democrats have 10 congressmen from Washington, Republicans have five, that would mean Democrats have the vote from the state of Washington. So they go through the full 50 states that way, and we would win 33 to 27 under the current way the House is set up. So they would, if it were a tie, the House would vote for Trump to be president. And then comes the last wrinkle, which is the new House would come into play in January. And they could, if somehow the Democrats were able to flip that. But as it turns out, the Democrats could regain control of the House by membership, right? They could do it 220 to 215, but they still wouldn't have the majority of the state delegations. So when you and I talked earlier, I was saying how that could flip it back to Biden with the new House of Representatives, but it would be almost impossible for Democrats to overcome this. So even if they were to retake the House and they come in January, they would still be behind the eight ball on the state delegations. But so it's crazy. These are all the things that are possible with a tie.
And you know what? The left is going through all of these type of situations, and they're trying to figure it out because right now, the polling is showing that Joe Biden's not favorable at all with the American people, and that's not even just you don't even need polling; you just need common sense these days. But I think it's interesting. Right. You know, you mentioned the laws that were manipulated back in 2020 prior to the election. You know, we had a man in the attorney general's seat, Bill Barr, who refused to challenge any of those, and we know that they were unconstitutional in a lot of states, and he just sat down and didn't do anything about it. But there was a very brave man at the DOJ at the time. His name, Jeff Clark. Jeff Clark is somebody, and just full disclosure, I love Jeff Clark. He's a great human being, a great patriot, a great father, just a great overall person. If you guys ever got the opportunity to meet him, you would understand what I'm saying here. But because he was somebody who said, and this was him doing his job, I'll investigate claims of election fraud, or I'll investigate potentially challenging those types of legislative changes that were made last minute. They went after him. They're still going after him right now. In DC, he's actually being disbarred. He's going through his trial right now. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, because I think it's really, really interesting. But Jeff Clark is also being criminally charged in Fulton County, and wrongfully so. But what's been playing out during his DC trial has been very, very interesting. You posted this tweet, and it comes from Citizens for Renewing America. It has to do with the Fulton County Election Board member, Mark Wingate, just testifying that Fulton County 2020 election shouldn't have been certified because there was no signature verification done at all. And that's like a massive issue that we continue to talk about, right? They're taking in all these mail-in ballots, and they're not verifying the signatures. Right. Now, again, you've been covering this. I'm going to let you take the floor. How incredible has it been right now that all this stuff is coming out during Jeff Clark's disbarment hearings in DC?
Yeah, first of all, I want to concur. Jeff Clark is a great human being, and and he's being railroaded in DC. This hearing is really interesting. You know, I spoke with him briefly before the hearing a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know what, Kane, we're going to use this opportunity. We aren't just going to go and present a normal defense. We're going to use this trial as a showcase to show the fraud that happened in Fulton County and the fraud that happened in Georgia, and show that President Trump had the full right to question what happened in the state. And so I think that's why you're seeing it. Number one is because Jeff Clark said, you know what, if they're going to try to screw me, if Lawfare is going to try to take my license in Washington, D.C., then I'm going to expose everything that I know and that we know that happened in Georgia. And let's also add, you know, as you know, Jeff Clark is a long time, decades long, dedicated Department of Justice career prosecutor and career civil servant. Like he served that agency well. And this whole idea that, you know, and he was, I haven't put the story up today, but it's out. And I'll be putting it up after this show. But he was, it came out this morning that he actually was named the acting attorney general for the United States, it said, for an afternoon by President Trump before January 6th. So that's been officially confirmed that he was actually named. So we're talking about a guy who, you know, had led divisions inside DOJ. And is nothing but a great patriot and a smart guy and someone who follows the law. So now back to your question about Fulton County. So he's using this as his opportunity, and he's brought, you know, he's bringing the receipts. You mentioned Mark Wingate. Give people quick background on Wingate. He is a Fulton County board election supervisor. So he was one of the people who had to vote in order to certify the election there, and he didn't. He voted against certification, both of the original count and the recount. And he's been brought forth by Jeff Clark's attorneys in this DC bar hearing, which is available. People can watch this on YouTube. It's on all day long. It's like a 9-screen Zoom window pane. It shows you all three judges and the different court players. But anyway, Mark Wingate has been testifying, and he talked about, he made multiple points. One, that they refused to show him any chain of custody from Fulton County. And we all know, if you don't have the chain of custody, you have nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And the second big point, the bombshell that he made, and this was not only in trial, but he made it in an affidavit before trial. He said that he was told by Fulton County supervisors that zero signature verification was done on absentee ballots. So why is this so important? Well, if you look at previous years in Fulton County when they had the normal amount of absentee ballots, which would have probably been like 30,000, 40,000, 2.5% of those ballots were rejected. Going back, go through past elections, you'll see it averaged between 2 and 2.5%. So they were always excluding quite a few ballots based on signatures not matching. Well, in this election, and this is what we've always feared, that Georgia in Fulton County, perhaps that they created some fake ballots there and that they were able to do it by using fake signatures. And if what Mark Wingate is testifying is true, that zero signature verification happened, then that means that, you know, the fraud, you couldn't even count the fraud. I don't remember how many, you may know, I don't remember how many absentee ballots there were in Fulton County, but I know it was over 200,000. And yeah, huge and huge numbers of them were for Biden. So, you know, and it wouldn't take much to flip that election back to Trump. I think Georgia was 10,000 votes. So that's why people are up in arms. And I'll, before I throw it back to you, I'll tie in this into Arizona. I'm sure you remember from the Carrie Lake lawsuit on signature verification in Arizona, they had that video that showed how all these different volunteers were looking on the computer screen as the signature matches would show up. And they were looking for like 0.75 seconds. So in the court hearing, in the Carrie Lake court hearing, they showed video of that, how they were just going click, 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 click onto the next signature. So we always feared that was how they cheated in Arizona. And now hearing this in Georgia, it makes us fear that's how they cheated there as well.
Yeah, well, all of this is concerning. And again, this was again on your website. You highlighted a tweet that came from Kyle Becker talking about the 2020 election and how illegal it was in Georgia. And we've been on, you know, Brian Kemp over in Georgia. We've been on all of them about this because, well, they pretend like there's no proof of election fraud, but they just don't want to look. You know, Kyle Becker's outlining it with great bullet points: missing chain of custody, like you said, missing surveillance footage of drop boxes, signature verification errors, dirty voter rolls, double scanned ballots. I mean, these are all proof that there's something wrong in Fulton County. But they don't want to prove it. And this is the reason. And the Fulton County thing is really important here, right? Because that's where Jeff Clark is being criminally prosecuted. And we've talked about it on the show before. We all know that the DA over there is corrupt. We know that there's endless corruption in Fulton County. And the judges are all in this too. So it makes sense that the elections are also dirty as well. So I think it's really interesting how it's all playing out. I mean, and Jeff Clark, you know, he's a great man, but he's dealing with these lawfare attacks on several different angles right now, and he's not alone. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it previously, you and me. John Eastman has just been disbarred in California, and John Eastman wasn't an attorney for President Donald Trump, but you know, he's a very, very intelligent man who comes out there and tells you exactly where, you know, this is unconstitutional, and they don't like that stuff, and so they push back on Eastman, and they've disbarred him. And as we're heading into an election, I think people need to understand what the attempts here are. They're not just going after Jeff Clark and John Eastman. They're also going after Rudy Giuliani and a bunch of other attorneys who agreed to represent President Trump and his election challenge, which was legal. They're going after them by doing lawfare and going after their bar licenses. And it's not just these individuals who they're going after. They're sending a clear message as we head into 2024, November. You gotta either comply, don't represent clients who want to challenge the election, just shut up and do what we say. And it does add like a fear-mongering tactics for so many. And I don't blame attorneys for not wanting to stick their neck out because we're watching what's unfolding right now. And, you know, for people like Jeff Clark, who are highly respected and have been their whole careers, we're watching them all get thrown under the bus. So I think it's really interesting to see all this play out. And that's the reason why we can't be silent. We have to sit there and echo what's going on right now. So again, folks,
let me add this, over to Citizens, Brianne, before you go on to the next thing, let me add, and you were talking about the Fulton County fraud. You in particular, you had that video that went crazy viral on Twitter of the 40,000 affidavits being delivered to Governor Kemp's office. And that's just enough. Those were personal affidavits from actual voters in Georgia who had evidence of voter fraud. So it's astonishing how all that was ignored. And then regarding the lawfare and John Eastman, not only is John Eastman a scholar, he's the former dean of the Claremont College School of Law, I believe. I know he was a dean. Yeah, it's Claremont College School of Law. I mean, he helped President Trump after the post-election. It's It's astonishing. I think that one, that case will eventually go to the Supreme Court, and I think it will be overthrown. It'll go to the California Supreme Court first, but then, I mean, Eastman is taking it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I think that will be tossed out because it's essentially saying that people, I mean, come on, the whole basis of being an attorney is arguing ways to get your client off. It's just astonishing that they're criminalizing sort of being an attorney that, you know, supports America first or supports President Trump. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, no, I think it was great. I mean, you know, I've reached out to Georgia several times to follow up on everything, and the Kemp's office doesn't really have a response in regards to where they are at investigating the over 42 signed affidavits. And then the Secretary of State's office is pretty much dismissive and saying that they're not actual signed affidavits, even though that they are. Again, it's a mess, but they don't want to look at the election fraud claims that have been brought forward. There's been plenty of people who said that when they went to go vote on election day, that there was already a mail-in ballot that was already placed for them and they couldn't vote in person because of it. There are so many issues that needed to be investigated and they choose not to. And it's being done strategically, of course. But as we head into November, it's relevant. What happened in 2020 is relevant to what's going to happen in November because they're going to do it again because they got away with it. I mean, these people belong in handcuffs and dragged off to prison because of what they did. And, well, they just tell you it didn't happen. Then they go after and then, you know, companies like, you know, we have all these machine companies, voting machine companies who are going after and suing in the billions, people personally and companies and networks and stuff like that, media companies. It's meant to silence you. It's all an intimidation factor. And that's why you can't be silenced. You have to keep speaking out on these issues. But Kane, before you go, let's end this on the positive note, because I think this is interesting. You know, obviously we saw the RNC turnover take place this month in March, or last month, I should say. But the RNC, since, you know, Trump and the RNC have gotten their way so far, they've raised $65.6 million in March. What do you take of that? What do you make of that? Because I think it's really important right now that they're raising all that money.
Yeah, that was big. And it hurt. I linked to the Politico story, raised $65.5 million in March, giving them $93 million cash on hand. And as you know, that was the story we heard. You know, regime media was pushing that story through the entire month of February and March, that the RNC fundraising had lagged and Trump didn't have any money and he was spending all of his money on his lawyers. And so now we've seen what happened. It's obvious. People stopped giving to the RNC while Ronna McDaniel was in charge. And as soon as the Trump team got put in charge of the RNC, they've opened up their pocketbooks again. $65 million is an amazing amount to do. That's basically $2.1 million a day, every day for the whole month. And this is a month when people are on spring break. You know, 10% of the I know from the traffic on my website, 10% of the population has been gone every week this month and plugged out. So $65 million is huge. Trump now has $93 million. He's sitting on, what, $5 billion in paper value in True Social stock. We don't know where that will be in 5.5 months when his lockup ends and he can sell. But Trump financially is doing better. He was able to make the $175 million bond just using his brokerage account. I put that story in the stack last night. So financially, he's fine. You know, they've got money. The polls are looking good, but here's the bottom line on polls and on sort of the Kennedy third party thing. This is still, despite the fact that Trump is leading in 6 of 7 swing states, that was a poll that came out yesterday from Wall Street Journal, tied in Wisconsin, but leading in the other 6. Despite that, Brianna, as you know, this is a margin of error election, meaning this stuff is too close. It's going to depend which side rallies their troops and gets their voters out on November 5th and leading up to November 5th. You know, 3 points in all of these states means nothing, as we've seen. Like, we had the huge upsets in Wisconsin last night. Why? Because we had a big turnout because Trump was there and the Zuckerbucks issue. And so, and yet we've been losing a lot of these turnout elections, smaller turnout elections, based on the IVF issue and the abortion issue. So turnout is really going to determine this. And then the last positive thing is, you know, Kennedy, Jill Stein, and Cornel West. You know, the media and the public has had a long enough time to absorb it all now and realize that, you know, who Kennedy has chosen, a far leftist, as his VP. And the polls are consistently showing. I'm doing them every day. Like, every poll I see, I'm publishing. They're showing that adding these extra candidates adds they take 2 or 3 points more from Biden than they take from Trump. And one last little aside, you may have seen Scott Pressler, you know, bless this guy, what he's doing. He's trying to help Cornel West get on the North Carolina ballot. Why is that important? Because North Carolina has a lot of black voters. He'll pull 1.5 to 2% of Democrat voters from Biden, just Cornel West alone. So these are the things that are looking in our favor, right? But it's still a margin of error election, and we're going to need everybody to turn out. That's how we'll win.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's really important to drive home, because we don't want to get too confident with it. Obviously, under Joe Biden, this country is doing horribly. It's probably the worst that I've ever seen it, and my parents have ever seen it. And so, you know, we are motivated in that sense, but I don't want people to take it for granted or get kind of thrown off by the election fraud allegations. It's important for everyone to go out and vote, get involved in some way possible, and to make sure, yes, that their voices are heard, because we need to push back. Our country might not last another 4 years if we don't get President Trump into the White House. I mean, that's how serious this really is. And I love the fact that we have other candidates on the ballot. The DNC needs to learn. You don't sit there and you don't manipulate primaries. And that's exactly what they did. They made sure that nobody else challenged Joe Biden. And the American people didn't want that. I mean, here in Florida, for example, before we wrap, I wanted to drive home another point, here in Florida, I mean, the Democrats here literally handed over all of their I think it was delegates over to Joe Biden. And so there was no primary here in Florida. So in November, we actually had low turnout for Dems. And so in cities like mine, I live in a blue city. We flipped our city mayor. Our mayor is now a Republican. Yes. And it's all because Joe Biden wasn't on the, well, Joe Biden didn't have a primary. So those things work to our advantage. And we need to also explain to blue voters that they don't think that you're smart enough to make your own decisions regarding who should be your nominee. And that's the reason why they do what they do. They're communists. There's nothing more to it. So it's interesting, Kane, but I appreciate it. I know you're super busy. A lot going on over at citizenfreepress.com. So we're so thankful that you jumped on with us today, as always. You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. Now, you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.